Hey guys, Lena Evgemra here on the podcast of Living with Power, and I want to say hi. Hope you're doing well. This is the kind of crazy week between Christmas and the New Year, and everybody's coming up with lists and things to reflect upon. You know, I love this time of year. I am a list person by nature, and the truth of it is I love to take some time out of my schedule and to look back at what God has done in my life and then to plan for the new year and to turn a new page. Every year I'll get a new calendar and make my own, you know, set of lists. And so somebody suggested this year that I take some time and update you guys on what's happened in Living with Power in the ministry. It's been a crazy, crazy year, and I thought, man, that's a great idea. So we are between podcast series. We just finished the study of Philippians. I sure hope you enjoyed it. And next week, I'm going to start an awesome study I'm really excited about. I know what I'm going to do for the podcast for the next, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 months. First of all, let me tell you about what's been happening, and I'll lead up to what the podcast is going to be, because I'm really pumped about it, and I hope you guys are going to be too. And let me start by saying this. I want to say thanks for those of you who are tuning in. My guess is most of you have listened to this podcast before, but if you're new, welcome. Just to tell you a couple things about myself, I'm a pediatric emergency room doctor in the greater Chicagoland area, and I have a ministry called Living with Power Ministries, and it's basically a ministry of Bible teaching and communicating God's word in simple biblical truth for everyday life. I believe that there is life in Christ Jesus, and that we can find out more about it in His Word, the Bible. And so I have really spent a big portion of my time and life focusing on that, and I hope that you guys have enjoyed kind of just going through God's Word and figuring out how it can meet you in a place of need and draw you closer to God Himself through His Son, Jesus Christ. All right, so we do a lot in this ministry, and I write, I speak, I travel, and this year we started a lot of initiatives, and I think it helps to step back and kind of think about what's happened, to just get an appreciation for God's work in your life. And I want to do this for the ministry, but I want you to also be thinking as you're listening to this, how you're going to be doing this in your life. I know that every one of you who's listening has had stories of God and what He's done in your life, and if you don't take time to stop and reflect over it, man, it'll pass right by you. And I'm hoping that what I'm doing here for the ministry is going to be something that you're going to do in your life. So much so, I'm hoping that I built a page that only people who are listening to this podcast, well, I don't know, I might actually extend it to people who read my blog, but basically I've built a page called livingwithpower.org/mystory. livingwithpower.org/mystory. You can get on that page and put in your name and email, just your first name is fine, and your email address, and write in your story, what God has done, how has God worked in your life this year, and maybe what you hope to accomplish in 2015. And as I get to that, maybe you want to follow my model. I try to think of a word and a verse for the new year, and I'm going to share my words with you today. So, all this to say, we want to make it easy for you to communicate these things. Now, the thing, if you do fill out that form online, I'll be the only one who gets the email. Nobody else is going to see it. It's not for public consumption. I just think it's a good way for accountability. It'll give me a sense of where you're at, and it'll help me minister better to you. I believe God has built an online community. You know, the 2014-15 word for it is a tribe. And I think that the people who check into Living with Power really have a hunger for God and His Word. So having said that, this time last year was a crazy time for me. I had been, I had left my church of many years, and it was about 3 months into my being kind of in transition. And so it felt like a very insecure time for me, a very scary time where I wasn't sure where God was going to plop my roots. And I didn't know, I didn't know much. I remember when I left my church in September a year and a half ago, I wasn't even sure if I was going to have any more speaking opportunities. Everything I had felt like I had built in ministry was kind of on hold, and I was placed at a crossroad of needing desperately to trust God for the next move. And so around Christmas of last year, so about a year ago, I was in the middle of that transition. And all I knew was that I was committed to finding God's way for my life and to drawing closer to Him in it. And it had nothing to do with me. It was really purely God drawing me to Him. And I was at the time helping out with a church plant. And I just didn't have peace that was where I would land. But I was doing, you know, I was just trying to be faithful week after week and seeking God through His Word. So you might be like that now, just in a state of transition. And I urge you just to focus on one thing, which is your vertical relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That is all God wants us to do, is to look to Him, and He'll just take you to the next step, and the next step, and the next step. And that is exactly what happened with me in the ministry of Living with Power last year. I remember trying to figure out where I would teach the Bible. I mean, I had taught in the context of the local church up until that time, and I wasn't sure, what do I do now? Do I rent a space? Do I open my home? And God is just was so faithful. I'm looking at a page here of things that I wrote of what happened in 2014. Out of that time of insecurity and prayer and seeking God, we ended up with that church plant that I was in relationship with at the time. They were so gracious to me and partnered with me and helped me have a place, a space to teach a series for Stripped. The book that I wrote was called, remember, Stripped, When God's Call Turns From Yes to Why Me. We're making that study available to you guys now. Many of you have seen the promo on my Facebook page. You can find it online. But it was at that church plant, and it was honestly like such a sacrifice for them, because they were not even meeting in a permanent space, but they were like, look, we open it for you. You can come and teach there. And I taught a 10-week series, and I put together a video with the help of Shaj, my friend who does so much of my video. Right now, he's my main video guy. Actually, he has a great company. If you're looking for video people, it's called In the Light Studios. You can Google him or email me if you want to find out about him more. The guy is so talented, and he kind of left his day job and is serving God in full-time ministry, doing video for ministries and whatnot. And so he came out and recorded that for us, and my plan had been to record Thrive after that, but instead of going straight into like a series, God really put on my heart to do a regional conference. And so I started looking into that. I rented a space in Arlington Heights, and we hosted in April of 2014 the first Thrive conference for singles. It was awesome. I mean, it was packed. Honestly, my faith was so weak going into all these things. I didn't think anyone would show up, and God just graciously used Moody Radio. They promoted the event, and the church, the local churches in Chicago stepped up. The singles community just partnered with the work and really got the word out. And man, I got so much feedback about what God did in people's lives at that conference. And really, it was a highlight for me in April of 2014. And we recorded that too, so that it too is available in a 7-week study that includes a Q&A for anyone who's doing a study in singleness. And I'm going to be giving more attention to that coming up at Valentine's Day. I think you guys will have a chance to, I was thinking of doing kind of an online community type study. So moving into the summer, and throughout that season, God continued to open doors for teaching. I did a couple of great conferences. I spoke at Taylor University and Cornerstone University, and did a couple of conferences. The Grace and Truth Conference, I met Rosaria Butterfield, who's written an awesome book about her coming out of a homosexual lifestyle and what God has done in her life. Man, that book is awesome. If you have any interest in that, it's called The Secret Thoughts of an Unlikely Convert. Just a wonderful, wonderful little read. I just God just really kept throwing me what I call breadcrumbs of grace in serving Him. Come summer, I decided to write another book. I didn't have a publisher. In the past, I've been asked by publishers to write. This time, I did not have a publisher, but I was really driven by the concept of unshaken. And I think the subtitle in that setting, the context of standing strong in faith no matter what is really what the Unshaken book is about. And I was doing a podcast series. Some of you have heard that podcast series. You can actually find some of those podcasts if you look in iTunes. It just revved me up, that study, because I felt like I was in a place where my faith in God was being strengthened. You ever go through seasons like that where the circumstances in your life don't change, but your faith in God gets stronger? And I found myself in that place in the summer where I had so many things I wanted God to change and do in my life. And I felt I was at a crisis point of being driven to get on my knees and pray. But what God wanted to do in me and is continuing to do in me, and I think that is the biggest thing that has happened to me in 2014, which is God has grown my trust in Him. You know, I kind of sort of trusted Him before. Like, I believed that I was going to die and go to heaven because Jesus died for my sins, and you know, I believe that His Word is truth, and I read it every day, and that He honors those who obey Him. You know, all these things that we just generally believe, but I gotta be honest with you, when it comes to the deep desires of my heart, I've been burned so many times in my perspective that I couldn't see God's bigger picture. And I gotta confess to you, my trust in Him was at like 95% capacity. But those 5% that I was holding back were crucial and detrimental to my spiritual life and my relationship with Him. And 2014 has been a year of utterly breaking down the walls of that 5% in my life. And so the verse for me in the last year has been Isaiah 30, verse 15. And odds are, if I spoke at your church and you gave me a book to sign, I would have written that verse. And it says this: in returning and rest, you shall be saved. In quietness and in trust shall be your strength. And man, that is all God did for me in 2014, was to get me into the place of quiet trust in Him. And that is a place where you are unshaken, strong in the heat of battle, no matter what. So very little of my outward circumstances were changing, but my faith in God was deepening. So I wrote the book Unshaken, which that is the premise of it, is do you really believe what you say you believe? We Christians in the church are kind of funny about that. We say a lot of great, awesome things about God, but very few of us really believe that they translate into everyday life. And that book, by the way, still has not found a publisher. I feel like I'm even living that life of feeling unshaken, even though the book, I really thought, I believed that I wrote it, I thought God was going to provide a publisher right away, and it's been rejected by a few publishers. But listen, I'm unshaken. I believe God has a plan and a timing and a purpose for it, and I'm waiting for Him to unveil that. I've thought about self-publishing. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I know that if nothing else, that book has encouraged my heart. And if you have an interest in that book, I don't know, send me an email, and you never know. Maybe if I get enough requests from you guys, maybe I will self-publish, but I believe that book will encourage your heart, so I'm praying that God will provide a door for it. So I had, you know, done the podcast here called Unshaken, and then right around that time was when a casual comment at lunch with a friend kind of propelled me into doing a series, an Arabic podcast, which was something that you would think that would have been a natural idea that I would have just come up with, but I hadn't. It was lunch with my friend Renee, and she said to me in passing, she said, "Hey, Lena, have you ever thought of doing an Arabic podcast?" She says to me, "In fact, I challenge you, just do one or two podcasts in Arabic." And the minute she said it, it was like, have you ever been fishing? I don't fish, that's the truth of it, but I imagine that it's like that moment when a fish cat, you know, comes to your, I don't even know what you call it, the bait thing, you know, and they bite. And that was what it felt like I had just caught the mother lode, you know, and I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I didn't ever think about that. And so that it was about August, September in that time, and I decided to do a book of the Bible. I wanted to do something manageable, so I chose Philippians and launched into, we were just coming at the end of Unshaken at that time in our podcast here, so I started the Philippians podcast in English and in Arabic, where I do Tuesday in English and Thursday in Arabic, and that helps me just keep things straight in my head, because man, there's a lot going on in my life between running the ER when I'm there, and blogging three times a week still, and preparing the, you know, talks when I go around, and God opens doors for me to do retreats and conferences, and now the podcasts and the writing and et cetera, et cetera. So it helps me to keep things straight, which is why I tend to do parallel Arabic English. And incidentally, this podcast, this update is only going to be in English. I think that's good enough for now. Okay, so travel 2014, I got to do a lot of awesome things. I spent 2 weeks in Kenya and met some amazing Christians, and it was at a hospital under Samaritan's Purse. You know, they were kind of directed me to that place. The hospital's called Kajabi Hospital, and loved my time there. Met a woman named Jennifer Myra, who's a doctor there, and Marty Steer, who is the director of the pediatric area there. And Marty was someone I had trained back when I was doing my fellowship in pediatric ER, and she's running the place now. And it was just awesome to be there. I felt like I was just had a fun time, and then I came back, and in the summer, kind of going into fall, I had opportunity. By then, this is something incredible. I came back from Kenya, and that was when God really landed me at Willow Creek Church, somewhere I really never thought I'd end up going to church there, and yet God's hand and direction was so clear to me going there. Jen from Kenya had a friend who goes there, and I came back, and my sister and her husband, who really I do life with, were like, let's check out Willow, and next thing you know, we started end of March, started going to Willow, and God just did a lot of things through Willow and the ministry there, and it is now what I call my home church. I'm loving my time there, and so I was invited to go with them with a global leadership summit to Israel to do to help really to go with this on this trip where they basically do a lot of teaching as to the conflict between the Palestinians and the Israelis and the history behind that and really the goal of Willow is peace and bringing you know the love of Jesus to people and trying to understand the conflict and to figure out how we can just be the light of Christ in an area that is very, very, obviously, you understand the tensions in those areas. I'm from Lebanon, and man, it is complicated. And so I went with them, and we did a global leadership day in Jerusalem and another one in Bethlehem. And so I kind of got to see both sides of the narrative in the Middle East and the conflict and understand both perspectives and just have such a deep love for both the Jewish people and the Israelis, as well as the Arabs, and I think there's, you know, the Palestinians have been so just gone through such difficult days and years, and just man, the history of the Jewish people, even in the opposition that they've had over the years, just really moved by that trip, and still trying to wrap my mind around what I can do as a Christian follower of Jesus to just be able to love people that I might agree or not agree with and understand or not understand fully. And, you know, there's such, I think that to a certain extent, we live in a bubble here in the United States and we think we know the answers. And it only is as you open your eyes and start talking and your ears and start talking to people and listening to what they have to say that you understand that, man, we don't have a clue. And it's humbling to understand that. And it's humbling to turn to God and say, God, we need you to help us to navigate this and to come to the equation with really no agenda. I think that's the hardest thing about that trip was leaving with a sense of, I see both sides of the difficulty, and how can we just be a friend and love people who claim Jesus Christ as their Savior from both sides of it, and how do we introduce this God, Jesus Christ, you know, how do we let people know about him without offending them and turning away one side or the other, and by the way, so many lessons, not just in the Palestinian-Israeli conflict, but now bring it here to the United States and the racial conflict and the, you know, all of the issues that we have had here this year in the United States and how much we can learn about loving people that we might not understand. So I came back from Israel and literally a week later went to Jordan, where now I was reaching out to the Muslim community. And again, you kind of think, man, I'm going to talk about Jesus and I'm going to preach the word and they're going to get saved. And how naive that no one wants to have the truth ream down their throat. What people need to see is love. And understanding and acceptance and then slowly the love of Christ just is so compelling. Jesus himself is so compelling that you don't have to say much. You can just love people and watch how Jesus will come and just grab onto their hearts. And my time in Jordan was awesome. I mean, I had a great time. I had an awesome team that I was with, smaller than the Israeli trip that I took. You know, this was a 10 people trip. And we got really close with that team. And the pastor and his wife who invited me to go have become really dear friends of mine. And just felt like a big connection in ministry and understanding of what God's doing there. And got to meet a lot of Syrian refugees in Jordan and understand kind of some of what they've gone through. And also met some Iraqi refugees from Iraq who are now living in Jordan who were kicked out by ISIS. And stuff that you read about in the news and you just think, man, this sounds almost like a movie. It's surreal. And yet it is happening today. And I know over the past year, God has slowly driven my heart to the Middle East again. And I grew up in the Middle East. And I never really thought that I'd have a heart for the Middle East. I'm Western in my thinking. I've always taught the Bible in English. I've always prayed in English. I've always thought of God in English. And now God has put the seed of love for the Middle East and understanding how can I serve an area that I came from and that is so deep in history and now in conflict and an opportunity. And man, the need is just overwhelming right now with the refugee crisis in both Lebanon. Lebanon probably has the most number of refugees. So I cannot wait till March of this year. End of February, I'm heading to Lebanon. First time in about 15 years, I'll be going back home. And I'm starting to build a lot of relationships with people there. And I'm just so excited about it. So much so that we started You might have caught on to this ministry, this kind of like a project, I guess I should call it, as part of the Ministry of Living with Power. We've called the project Give Power to the Powerless. And, you know, no one feels as powerless as people who have been kicked out of their home, out of their country. The refugee crisis is really the epitome of that. But all over the world, there are people who really feel powerless, whether it's women who are abused and sold into sex slavery, whether it's here in this country, people whose rights have been eaten. You know, all over, people want a sense of power. And if you saw the video on my website that introduces the ministry, I talk a lot about the power that God gives us through His Son, Jesus Christ. And by the way, that is a power that is found in weakness and in dependence on God. And it's counterintuitive, and it's upside down, and it's radical, and it's unconventional, and it's Jesus Christ embodied. Think about it. I mean, He was King of Kings. He is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He is sitting at the right hand of God right now, and yet 2,000 years ago, took on the body of a slave, of a servant, and became a servant for us, born, listen, not as a prince, not as a rich man in an upper middle class home. No, He was born to a carpenter in a stable. I mean, think about just this contrast of king and I'm recording this the week before Christmas, and I'm telling you, I don't ever want to get over what Jesus has done for us. I don't want to get over the love of Jesus that He has for you and me. And anyway, so the project Give Power to the Powerless is kind of rooted in that, in the desire to love people to the place where they can see that no matter what circumstances they have in their life, they are strong in Christ. And that is awesome, awesome news. That is hope, that is joy, that is peace, that is just unbelievable. And I want to spend the rest of my life on that, on taking God's word and opening up His word and introducing people to a Savior who loved them so much that He was desperate to find a solution to their problems, and God in His wisdom brought that solution to us through Jesus Christ, God's Son, who became a sacrifice for our sin and bought our freedom for us. And I don't understand that kind of love, but I want to spend the rest of my life knowing it more and just telling more people about it. So that is really what the Ministry of Living with Power is. I'm kind of summing up a whole year in here. I will coming up on 20 minutes. I appreciate your patience. I want to just kind of maybe do a couple more minutes. We're coming to the tail end of this. I hope you're still listening. So I'm still blogging, gave away 500 books at a conference a couple of months ago. That was huge. And by the way, really want to thank the people who have donated to the ministry. We've got a couple of big donors and a handful of smaller donors. Every dollar that has been given, my nephews give. They tithe. Some of their tithe comes into the ministry, and I don't say this to embarrass them, but just because I'm so moved by the sacrifice of them. And you might think, well, what does a dollar a week do? You know, what does a couple bucks a month do? And look, God took the widow's mite, and just to this day, we read the Gospels and we read her story, and God looked at her, at that, just Son of God looked at that sacrifice, and just He had such a appreciation for the spirit behind it. And so I don't know what you're able to give, but if you anything I've told you, if working in the Middle East, if writing books, if you know, preaching God's word, if podcasts that people all over the world are listening to. I got an email from a woman in a country I had to Google. I don't even know the country of Brunei, I think it's called, in Borneo, or I don't know, it's in Indonesia somewhere. I mean, I'm so clueless. Like, you think that I would know every country in the world. I don't. And she sent me an email, said how they're listening to my podcast there. I hope she's listening to this right now. I had the joy of the Lord in my heart when I heard that they're listening to the podcast, the teaching of God's word in a country I've never even heard of. My vision for Living in Power has been to have a global ministry, and I've always felt like it is through somehow the web would play a big part of it. That's why I spent so much time blogging and teaching online and providing resources. Every Bible study I have is right now available digitally. You can buy it for like $3. You can't buy anything for $3 anymore. And you can see me by video. You can spend a dollar and see and listen to it. If you're in your car, all of the sermon notes, all of the messages I've ever taught are available free under Message Outline. I mean, we really want people in countries we've never heard of to be able to get a handle on God's word. And if you're living in those countries and you want a Bible study and you can't afford it, please email me, lena@livingwithpower.org, and we'll make a way for you to get it. I am praying that God will provide more donors. This is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Your donations are tax deductible. I am a lousy person to ask for donations. As a doctor, I feel kind of like insecure because I think they think that I make a living, so why would I ask for money? And I'm not asking you to support me in my lifestyle. I'm working, you know, as little as I need to do what I need to, and as much as I need to support what I need, you know what I mean? Like, I have a job, I can pay for my meals, I can pay for my house, but if we're going to do more for the ministry, by the way, the Lord has provided through my job enough to be able to support basic ministry stuff. So we'll continue doing God's work. We're not going to stop that. And when I say we, I have a board member of about 6 or 7 people right now that are all, they all volunteer. My assistant now is very part-time. She just, you know, my friend Tina travels with me to meetings sometimes. You know, there's Rocky, my brother-in-law, who does all of the iTunes and podcasts. I mean, these people are all volunteering their time to the ministry. My nephews will show up and help me when I teach at my church. And just so many people go into making this work. I've got a couple of people who do all of my my web and marketing right now. I'm paying someone a little bit to help me with the marketing part. All of this we can keep doing. But if we're going to do more for the Lord, then I need your help. I mean, listen, I can't tell you anymore, but the more God opens doors, the more I need your help. And it's not for me, but it's for the ministry and for getting the word of God out. So if anything we've done in this ministry has touched your heart, has drawn you closer to the Lord, then give. And we've tried to make it easy. Go under my website under the give page. But even more, I want to close with 2 things and I'm done. This coming year, a lot of opportunities are before us. I have a potential chance. I think we're working. I mean, I don't want to say too much, but I'm working on a radio thing with Moody. I hope and pray that is a go. It looks like we're going, but I don't want to speak ahead of time. There's a very, some kind of early talks on the possibility of an Arabic TV thing. Many conferences and speaking opportunities coming up. I have a publisher I'm kind of having some conversation with about a new book idea. Still planning more podcasts and planning to go to Lebanon. Just a lot of things going on. And more of what God, faithfulness of what God has already done, just more of it. And leads me to really a couple of closing thoughts. And that is number one, and I'm going to keep this under 30 minutes. And again, I know I've tried to do all of my podcasts at 15 minutes. This is unique. I'm guessing if you're still listening, you are invested in this ministry. You love this ministry and God is using it to draw you closer to him. A couple of verses, my word. So I have a word every year. Last year, I think my word was quiet, trust, quiet. And you're like, man, you did not learn much. You've been talking nonstop without taking a breath for 30 minutes. Well, I'm sorry, but that's how single people are. You bottle it all up and then it comes spewing out of your mouth. But this year, I think my word is going to be breakthrough. And specifically, the concept of open door. And I'm going to give you just 3 verses that God has. In fact, one I found this morning. I was just kind of asking God for confirmation. Funny, I had my Bible open. I was starting to read a passage, but I stopped and I prayed and I said, God, am I overthinking this word? I mean, I don't want to come up with a word if I don't sense that you're giving it to me. And look, I'm not trying to be weirdly charismatic. I mean, I have a lot of charismatic friends, but I do believe that God speaks through his word. And so there's nothing weird about that. If you're like, man, she's, you know, name it and claim it. I'm not doing that. I'm just saying my sense as I pray and seek God and see him working through my quiet time, through, I sense that he's about to break through in our ministry. There's so many things happening right now that I believe God is planning and has been planning for years, but they're kind of coming to a head. And a couple of verses to help you understand what I mean. Revelations chapter 3, verse 8 says this, I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door, which no one is able to shut. I know that you have but little power, and yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. But this concept of an open door, I'm going to link that to breakthrough. And then 1 Corinthians 16, verse 8 is a verse I'm going to hang my hand on for the year. Verse 8 and 9, it says, but I will stay. I'm sorry, verse 9. It says, Paul's talking to the church, and he's saying, but I will stay in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a wide door for effective work has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. And my sister sent me this verse recently, and I think it epitomizes where we're at right now. God has opened the door. It's wide open. We have no restrictions. Any of you listening to this can start a ministry right now, teaching the Bible, sharing the gospel. Any of you can do that. You just put your mind and heart to it and submit obediently to the Lord and seek his face in it. And if that is the thing that he's wired you to do, we have an open door. And I see that in the ministry of Living Power like no other time. And yet the truth is there are many adversaries. It is not going to be easy. And yet what I read before from Revelations, it says, behold, I have set before you an open door which no one is able to shut. When God opens the door, no one will shut it in your life, whether it's in your job or your ministry or your family. So you walk faithfully through that open door and watch for breakthrough. And then this morning, I was reading in Isaiah 20, because I just was like, God, I just don't want to put words in your mouth. I'm reading in Isaiah 45, and here's what I read in the first verse. It says, "Thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have grasped to subdue nations before him and to loose the belts of kings." And then here it is, "to open doors before him that gates may not be closed." And I believe I'm at that crossroad right now. God is about to break through. There are open doors. I need your help to walk through them. I believe God will do more, and I believe God works in community, and I believe with all my heart that you are part of this story. I love and I thank you for how you have partnered with me by listening, by reading, by emailing. And here's what I want you to do as I close up. livingwithpower.org/my story. Take a minute. I don't know how long it'll take you, but I'm telling you, it'll maybe 5 minutes, 10 minutes, maybe half an hour or an hour. But think about what God has done in your life and what you believe is. Do what I did. Pick a word and a verse and say, God, this is where I'm going to focus my attention in the coming year. And pray for it and seek the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you, He'll show you from His Word what He has for you. So I'm praying for you. I'm looking for your emails. No one will see those emails but me. livingwithpower.org/my story. When you go to that page, you'll write your comment and you'll click submit. When you do, you're going to be prompted to donate if you want to. You do not have to. We would love it if you do. Regardless, know that we are praying for you as a ministry, that we will continue to focus our minds and our attention on loving God first and then loving you through the love that He's overflown in our hearts. So, that's all. Now, I'm going to sign off. I'm going to wish you a great new year, and I can't wait to hear from you. All right, guys, have a great week.